Welcome back to Tales of Southwest Michigan's Past. This is Michael Delaware. I am your host. And in today's episode, I wanted to talk about a subject that relates to cemeteries. I was out in a cemetery this weekend filming a YouTube video. It was a project that I'd started many months ago. I wrote a script on this family that I did a lot of research on, and I'd set it aside, and I'd been trying to get to it and get out there and get that video filmed and posted on YouTube. And finally, this past Sunday, I took the time and I said, I'm going to go do this. And it was a beautiful day. So I worked it in my schedule to go out there, fly my drone, get some great video of the cemetery, and put the video together, and I posted it on Monday on my channel. And I will be sharing that story probably next week sometime on the podcast here so that you can hear that story. But while I was at the cemetery, I was reminded about all of the statues and monuments that you sometimes see at cemeteries. And it occurred to me that I have not revisited Twee Snider's book, which is called Understanding Cemetery Symbols, A Field Guide for Historic Graveyards. And I did a couple of episodes early on in the year from her book. I have plans to try to get her on the show at some point. Still haven't reconnected with her on setting up a schedule for that, but stay tuned. But there is something that I've always wanted to cover in this podcast, and that is the meaning behind statues and monuments of that type that you see in historic cemeteries. And what do the statues mean? That, you know, when you see an angel or a statue of a woman or a person, what does it actually mean? So we're going to go into that today. This is from a chapter in Twee Snider's book. So come along and join me. So human figures featured in the statuary of historic graveyards often represent specific saints or angels and other beings. So as you begin looking more closely at the statues in historic graveyards, you're going to notice that sometimes the virtues and even some saints are shown with wings. Shouldn't angels be the only winged beings? The word angel comes from angelos, the Greek word for messenger. The Hebrew word for angel is melech, and also meaning messenger. So according to ancient tradition, a genuinely angelic being has never lived on earth as a human, even though it may take human form to communicate with us. This is all from Twee Snider's chapter here called Saints, Angels, and Other Beings. And she goes on to say, while it's true that angels are winged beings, they are not the only human figures you will see with wings. Why, then, are some figures other than angels often shown with wings? When wings are added to a human figure, it is meant as a symbolic shorthand. The Latin word for saint is sancta, meaning holy. The moment any one of us reaches heaven, according to this, we too become holy. So adding wings to a human figure is a symbolic way of saying that the deceased is now in heaven. For the same reason, a statue of a winged child at a grave is most likely a way to express that the little one is now in heaven. That makes sense. So as you search for saints and angels and virtues, which we'll go into what the virtues are in a few minutes, in a graveyard, don't get too hung up on whether or not they have wings. Sometimes they do, and sometimes they do not. At Oak Hill Cemetery, which is one that I'm familiar with, and I've done a lot of work out there in terms of videos and filming and research and history work, there's not a lot of statues. There is a statue that everybody calls the Crying Mary, but it is actually a statue of a Greek goddess over the grave. It is designed to show or represent grief or sorrow over the grave of a man named Johannes Dekker. And I've covered some of that before on this podcast, and I've talked about it and shown the video of it on my YouTube channel. But there's a lot of angels in a lot of different cemeteries. If you travel around Southwest Michigan, you'll see statues and monuments of angels and the virtues, as well as saints, over graves. And if you travel around the country, you're going to see a lot of these, particularly when you head over to the East Coast. So I thought it would be interesting to go into some of the meaning behind the individual statues and how you can identify them by what they're holding, the way they're standing, and so forth. And she has this wonderful chapter where she breaks it down. And she says, here's a guide of some of the most common saints, angels, and other beings you will see depicted in historic American burial grounds. An angel holding a book. Now, an angel holding a book and even perhaps holding a feather pen and writing on this book is a celestial scribe known simply as a recording angel. That's what it means. A flying angel is an angel in flight, sometimes even shown with a mortal in tow, and it symbolizes the deceased person's ascent to heaven. Now, this could be a statue or a relief carved into a stone or monument, so bear that in mind when you see these angel symbology. A weeping angel, these mourning angels symbolize grief and sorrow. That's very similar to what you're looking at when you see the statue of the Crying Mary out there at Oak Hill Cemetery. A praying angel symbolizes religious faith of the individual that they are standing over the grave of. An angel holding a wreath stands for memory and eternity, and it's letting us know that this person's life will not be forgotten. So that's kind of interesting when you see a statue of an angel and they're holding a wreath. A saint holding a palm frond. When a saint holds a palm frond in one hand, it is a symbol of their martyrdom. So that's interesting to note if you go visiting cemeteries. Saint Anthony of Egypt is a patron saint of gravediggers. Many people believe that he is the patron saint of all those who enjoy exploring historic graveyards as well. The reason Saint Anthony of Egypt is considered a patron saint of undertakers, gravediggers, and cemetery workers is because he sold everything he owned and lived in a tomb at the start of his life's work. Somewhere along the line, he healed a sick pig, and the two became lifelong friends. For this reason, Saint Anthony of Egypt is often shown with a porcine companion seated nearby. There's even an ancient Catholic tradition linked to the feast for Saint Anthony of Egypt, which involved bringing your farm animals to the church for a blessing. This tradition still continues in some communities. So if you see a statue of an angel or of Saint Anthony sitting there with a pig next to it, it is symbolizing Saint Anthony of Egypt. Saint Anthony of Padua. This is the different Saint Anthony, and it is one that you're more likely to see depicted in a historic graveyard. He is most often shown holding baby Jesus, as well as a book, because Christ appeared to him in the form of a child while he was reading the Bible. Saint Anthony of Padua, I believe I'm saying that correctly, Padua. It is also frequently seen holding an Easter lily to symbolize his purity and innocence. Lilies are so closely associated with Saint Anthony of Padua that when Catholics make a special anointing oil from pressed lily flowers, it's called Saint Anthony's oil. The Virgin Mary's husband, Joseph, may also be seen holding baby Jesus and a lily. Saint Anthony, however, will have a monk's robe and haircut and will also be holding a book. So that's how you distinguish the two. Saint Cecilia. Saint Cecilia became the patron saint of music and musicians because she heard music in her heart on her wedding day. She is often shown holding a harp or organ pipes near her. Charon is an angel, and it is the angel of death, often shown towing a boat with the body of the deceased to the other side. By the way, it's acceptable to pronounce the CH in Charon as sh, ch, or even a K sound. So it could be Charon, it could be Charon, or it could be Charon. The body of water Charon is crossing is the mythical river Styx, which also, according to an ancient Greek myth, separates the living from the dead. So that is what you're seeing there if you see an angel towing a boat. Father Time, also another statue that you might see in a historic graveyard. Although they are often depicted holding an hourglass, sickle, or a staff, Father Time is an old gentleman with a long, flowing beard. He may at times be shown with wings, but they are not mandatory. The Grim Reaper, on the other hand, is an emaciated figure or even a skeleton. So now we're going to go into the four evangelist statues that you're likely to see in historic graveyards. And that can be Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the men who wrote the first four books of the Bible, and they're known collectively as the four evangelists. Each one of the four is associated with unique symbols in literature and art, and this carries over to how they are depicted at cemeteries. All four sometimes appear at the base of a fancy monument with a different evangelist in each corner to represent the four corners of the earth. When the evangelists are shown together like this, it's called a tetraform. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are also linked to the four signs of the zodiac: Aquarius, Leo, Scorpio, and Taurus, respectively. Today's church has little to do with astrology, but there was no taboo against it in early Christianity, mostly because there was little distinction made between astrology and astronomy during that time. After all, in the days before the widespread use of paper calendars, the signs of the zodiac helped mark the passing of each year, and several Christian festivals are related to the sky. Easter is celebrated on the first Sunday after the first full moon that occurs on or after the spring equinox. So unlike Christmas, which is celebrated annually on December 25th, there is no fixed date for Easter on the calendar. So let's talk about the four evangelists. Saint Matthew, often called the winged angel or Aquarius. In Christian religious art, Saint Matthew is often depicted as an angel. This may be done with either a face or an entire man with wings. So it is possible when you see a male angel that it is meant to be Saint Matthew. Saint Mark, also the winged lion or Leo. Saint Mark is often depicted as a lion with wings because his writings emphasize the idea of Christ as king, and lions have long been associated with royalty. Since he was Saint Peter's secretary, he may also appear as a man holding a pen. Saint Luke, the winged ox or Taurus. Saint Luke appears as an ox with wings, although you could easily mistake this for a flying cow. The ox was chosen to represent Saint Luke because it is a sacrificial animal, and Luke's writings emphasize the sacrifices that Jesus made for mankind. He also may be shown holding a paintbrush, since he was an artist as well as a doctor. Saint John, he is often a winged eagle or Scorpio. A winged eagle was chosen as a symbolic shorthand for Saint John because his gospel focuses on Christ's highest achievements. And just as an eagle, Jesus Christ rose to great heights, John may also be shown holding a chalice with a snake inside it as a reference to the Romans' attempt to poison him. A tetraform. Sometimes the four evangelists are combined into one shape. When you see this, it's called a tetraform. So let's move on to some of the other saints that you will see in a historic cemetery. Saint Francis of Assisi. Saint Francis is a patron saint of animals and ecology. He was known for the love he showed to all God's creatures and would even give sermons to animals. In the cemetery, Saint Francis of Assisi is often depicted as a robed monk. He is usually shown with an animal or two. Often a deer leans affectionately against his legs, while a dove perches on his arms or his shoulders. Unsurprisingly, Saint Francis is a common figure in pet cemeteries. Gabriel. The angel Gabriel is easy to spot. Just look for a horn at his side. Gabriel is the angel who will sound the trumpet on Judgment Day. Some sculptures may even show him about to blow into it, but usually it is tucked against him as he awaits. Green Man. The Green Man is not a common sight in America, but you may occasionally see his face peering out from the foliage carved on a tomb. In fact, his face will often appear to be made of acanthus leaves. As a symbol, he represents the cycle of life from death to rebirth. The Grim Reaper is a familiar figure that most people would recognize. He is a creepy figure, usually represented by either a skeleton or a sickly thin fellow brandishing a large scythe for harvesting souls. Saint Lucia of Syracuse. Saint Lucia is not very common. She is easy to identify. Lucia became a saint after having her eyes gouged out, so you will find her holding a dish with her eyeballs in it. You may even guess that Saint Lucia is the patron saint of the blind. So if you see something like that and you wonder what that means, that is Saint Lucia. Saint Michael. Saint Michael is an angelic warrior often depicted defeating Satan, a serpent, or even a dragon. Saint Michael is the patron saint of police officers and police departments because, like them, he battles with evil. He's often dressed in a full armor like a knight. Since one of Saint Michael's duties is to weigh the souls of the dead on Judgment Day, he may also be depicted as a male figure holding a set of scales. Morani. Morani is the angel who appeared to Joseph Smith several times throughout his life and inspired him to found the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, aka Mormonism. Like Gabriel, the angel Morani appears with a horn. Morani is an important figure to members of the Mormon Church, so use context clues to determine whether the horn-bearing angel you are viewing is Gabriel or Morani. Mother Mary. While she's actually quite easy to recognize, Mother Mary, also known as the Virgin Mary, may be depicted so many different ways in historic cemeteries that it's hard to narrow it down to a brief description. For instance, Mary might simply appear as a robed woman with her hands clasped in prayer. She often stands with extended hands, palms forward, to bestow a blessing upon the living. She may also have the baby Jesus on her lap or be shown cradling the adult Jesus after the crucifixion. If you ever have a chance to visit St. Peter's Cathedral in Rome, you will see Michelangelo's statue of the Pietà, which is Mary holding the adult figure of Jesus in her lap, and it is an incredible piece of artwork. Saint Raphael in cemeteries. Now, Saint Raphael is usually shown standing beside a little boy who is holding a fish. The child is Tobias, who was nearly devoured when a fish snatched him from the banks of the Tigris River. Saint Raphael, also known as Saint Raphael the Healer, not only rescued Tobias, but taught him how to make medicine using the entrails of the very fish that tried to eat him. When Tobias got home, he used this new knowledge to restore his blind father's sight. Now, we're going to go into the seven virtues. These are different statues, and they all can be identified once you get used to seeing them in cemeteries. The seven virtues is a list of traits to which people should aspire. It was originally created by the ancient Greek philosophers. Eventually, Christian scholars adopted the list, which they divided into two categories: the theological virtues, typically faith, hope, and charity, and the moral virtues, justice, fortitude, temperance, and prudence. Sometimes these virtues will be labeled as such on their pedestals, but other times you must use clues to figure out who is who. And just like other human figures, the virtues may or may not have wings. So let's go through the seven virtue statues that you will see in cemeteries and how you can identify them. Faith, this is a woman leaning on a cross holding a chalice or holding a candle or lamp. Sometimes she may even have a flame spouting from the top of her head. So that's faith, the virtue faith. Hope, when you see a woman with an anchor beside her, this is hope. She may even be depicted with a ship on her head to symbolize the soul's voyage to a new land, and she's often seen holding a basket of flowers. Charity. In paintings, Charity is often shown nursing a child. In the cemetery, and especially during Victorian times, this symbolism may be toned down quite a bit, so that rather than baring her breast, she's often seen pointing towards her chest or has a hand lightly tugging at the fabric of her gown. That's Charity. Justice, more commonly seen in artwork around courtrooms than cemeteries, Justice will still make an appearance every now and then in a cemetery. Look for a female figure holding a set of scales in her left hand. This symbolizes carefully weighing both sides of an issue. Justice is often blindfolded, so that shows that they are an impartial judge. Sometimes she also brandishes a sword in her right hand, and its two-sided blade stands for reason and justice. You will see this statue more commonly at courtrooms and than anywhere else, but you can also find it sometimes in cemeteries. Fortitude. Fortitude is shown as a female warrior, often seen wielding a club or sword and holding a shield, and she may be scantily clad. Temperance. Temperance often appears on the graves of prohibitionists and other people who advocate the clean living. To illustrate this, she may be shown with a water pitcher. Other symbols of temperance may include a sword left in its sheath to symbolize restraint, or a bridle and bit to symbolize control over one's less than saintly urges. That's kind of interesting. And finally, the seventh virtue, prudence. In paintings, prudence is often shown as a two-headed woman cavorting with a serpent or dragon. On a graveyard statue or engraving, you're more likely to see her as a woman holding a mirror to symbolize the quest for self-knowledge. And finally, the last statue we're going to talk about is the Virgin of Guadalupe. The Virgin Mary appeared before an Aztecan man named Juan Diego in 1531. And as proof of her divinity, the woman gave him a cloak. And when Juan Diego took the cloak to a church, roses spilled out to reveal the image of the Virgin of Guadalupe on the fabric. The Virgin of Guadalupe has since become the patron saint of Mexico, so depictions of her are common in areas with a large Hispanic population. Squiggly lines surrounding her body represents rays of sunlight. And this is a very common statue. If you grow up in the southwest of the United States like I did, you hear the Virgin of Guadalupe story quite a bit. And it is a common tale, and you see it quite often in statues, any statues of a Hispanic cemetery, a lot of that out in the southwest area of the United States or in the southern part of the United States where there's large Hispanic populations. But you'll see it around here as well, and there are statues quite often depicting her quite a bit. And it is a wonderful story. If you've not heard it, it is worth hearing from the inspirational part of it all. But that's a tour through some of the statues or common statues and their meaning. And as it would make sense, having a copy of Understanding Symbols with you when you're out at a historic cemetery is a good idea. And this book called Understanding Cemetery Symbols, A Field Guide for Historic Graveyards by Twee Snyder, is a wonderful reference, and I cannot recommend it enough. So I'll put the link to where you can buy a copy of this book for your own glove box and keep it with you when you go out traveling to cemeteries. And so you can pull it out and say, what does that symbol mean? And what is that statue depicting? And you can sort it out for yourself. And the better you get at referring to a reference and looking at statues, the easier it will be for you to be able to look at it and say, that's the angel holding a book, so that's a recording angel, or this angel over here holding a wreath stands for memory and eternity and so forth. And that's that virtue over there, that virtue right there with the anchor, well, that's hope, you know, and so forth. So it's kind of a useful way to understand a lot of the historic meaning behind these things, and it brings a lot more understanding when you're taking a walk to a historic cemetery. And you will see these statues all over the United States. So if you're going on vacation somewhere, let's say you're going to New Orleans and you go into one of those amazing cemetery tours down in New Orleans, you're likely to see a lot of this symbology down there because there are a lot of statues in cemeteries like that and all around the United States, up and down the East Coast and so forth. So traveling around Southwest Michigan, I've visited a lot of cemeteries and done a lot of filming, and I have seen a lot of statues, particularly in the older ones and more closely to the bigger cities than the rural areas. But if you go to Union City, there's three wonderful statues down there. Some of them depict a statue of the person below the grave, and others depict angels that represent particular symbols of meaning that I mentioned in this episode. So it's really great to know that. And I probably have two or three more episodes I could do just on Twee Snider's book. And if you enjoy this, please let me know in the comments, and I will do some more. She has a lot of history about different monuments and the meanings behind different types of headstones and the symbols that you will see on headstones and their meanings. And I'm going to go into some more of that in a future episode. But that's going to do it for today's journey through history. I hope you enjoyed hearing about some of this on the statues. I always seem to be drawn towards the statues when I see one of them in a cemetery, and perhaps you do as well. And now when you walk around and you see angel statues, even in modern architecture or old architecture around cities, maybe you'll have a better understanding of what those symbols actually mean. And as always, if you'd like to reach out to me, you can find me at michaeldelaware.com. I am always happy to hear from my listeners. And if you would like to see me in person at one of my upcoming events, check out that website and you will see my calendar of events. I'm doing a lot of speaking about my new book, Victorian Southwest Michigan True Crime. And you can also order a copy on my website for a small shipping fee. I will send you a signed copy. So feel free to order through there. But if you want to save a little bit of money, you can go on Amazon. And just because this episode was about a cemetery subject, I'm going to put a link to the cemetery workshop that they are doing down in Union City in the show note descriptions. Bobby Mathis was on my show last Sunday and was talking a little bit about that. That is a great program to go to, and it helps support what they're doing down in Union City to preserve that cemetery. And they teach people how to repair headstones. And every year they have a whole new class, and every year they take on different types of damage and projects. So if you've done one before, it doesn't mean they're going to be covering the same type of repair, because every repair is a little different. And it can be quite educational to take one of those classes. And they're quite reasonable for an afternoon of learning about history and how stones get put back together that have been damaged from falling limbs or just settling, or in so many different ways that headstones can get damaged, even from vandalism. Sadly enough, that is the case. But until next time, when we take another journey into yesterday, we explore even more fascinating tales of Southwest Michigan's past. Thank you for listening.